This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and it's the second Tuesday of the month when we get to talk to Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, and your chance to ask the sheriff. Hey, Sheriff.
Hey, good afternoon. Afternoon to all you listeners.
Hey, and a lot to talk about here as we go through. From a law enforcement perspective, and I keep reminding folks, y'all don't make the laws, y'all enforce the laws. What's it been like in general, and then maybe in specific with dealing with the state being a state of emergency, the social distancing rules? It seems like every other day there's some new piece of information coming out of Montgomery.
Well, you know, in these times like this, I always say it brings out the best in people and it brings out the worst in people, but it usually don't bring out the in-between in people. People make some very foolish mistakes, and then others you see just really rise up to the occasion and will shock and surprise you that they're capable of doing what they do. And I see that in workers, employees, and everyday citizens, and of course the health professionals. These are interesting times, but like I say, it brings out a lot of emotions in people.
What are you telling deputies about? I mean, there's no, y'all can't do your job in socially distance. I mean, it's just not possible, right?
It's difficult, but you know, I think the public understands, and for us in the rural areas in the county, we're really not having any major issues from our citizens. They seem to be not, disobeying the law and are reasonable with us. And so, of course, we're stressing all the things of, you know, hygiene and providing our deputies with the, you know, most of them have, or they have the mask and cleaning fluids. And we're looking at getting additional things. And we've had some of our cars cleaned and looking at other ways of doing things. Now, of course, the jail continues to be a challenge, but we're now 72 hours without any spikes in fevers of any of the inmates. We've had a number of corrections officers have had the coronavirus, and several others have had just the antibodies and never got sick from it, never realized they'd even had it. But we're fortunate for that. They're doing a yeoman's job there in the jail, keeping the inmates healthy and you know, free from the coronavirus.
Well, that's one of the worrisome things you talk about, people that have the antibodies, and whatever, the 900 folks in public safety that were tested, there were, you know, not quite a few, but there was like 4% or something that had the antibodies that weren't mm-hmm. sick. There was no way to test that ahead of time. I mean, who knows who got it first? Was it an inmate? Was it a corrections officer? But obviously it was in that jail. How do you, now that you know it was there, and so maybe, do you go back and test everybody every week? Do you do a scrub of the jail? How do you keep the people separated? I mean, what do you do? That's jail.
Well, that's right. You can't really keep your social distance in the jail or for the inmates, so you keep the inmates from being infected by it is the best way. But we followed CDC guidelines for jails and have worked in conjunction with the local health department and the experts. And anybody that gets arrested and comes in the jail, of course, we temperature check everybody coming and going. If somebody is arrested and brought in the jail, we isolate them for 7 days to make sure they don't come down with a fever or anything, and then we introduce them into the general population.
But they could be.
When people do have fevers, we segregate them, and if they catch the virus, we further segregate them, and we quarantine them, and eventually we have them get well.
But they could be like these cases we're just talking about, right? Somebody that has the antibodies is one, but we hear cases where people, they're not showing, maybe they do run a fever, I don't know, but they're saying asymptomatic folks. So you could take somebody to jail who's doesn't seem sick, right, but could be spreading that coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess you'd think that sooner or later they would have a little bit of a fever or some kind of a fever within that 7 days is the best practice we know of, you know, and hopefully they'd at least have enough in fever that we could determine they may be symptomatic without getting any some of the other signs.
What do you, so with those corrections officers that have gotten it, are they, when they, do they have to go, I mean, after they finish a treatment? I mean, how long are they out, and how is that a stress on you staff-wise for the jail?
It certainly is a stress on us staff-wise. When we started doing the antibodies, how we determined some video of them that had it, they show the antibody, and then they're immediately swabbed, and that test comes back within a day or so now. It used to be 2 to 3, 4 days. So they would be sent home to quarantine for 14 days and be tested again. Now, if someone has it, we don't know exactly when they got it, so we send them home initially for 7 days, re-swab them to see if they still have it. If they don't have it, then they can come back to work rather than missing a whole 2 weeks. So we've speeded that process up to get them back to work sooner. But it's interesting. I think as we look backwards after this is all over with, were the corrections officers getting it in jail, or were the corrections officers getting it outside of the jail? Because we've had more corrections officers with it than we've had inmates with it.
Well, but and then
like what the head of Spring Hill Memorial, I think, said that they had 16 or 12 employees had it, but not a single one had it that worked in the area where they were treating the patients.
So they were
surmised that they may have brought it from home rather than from the hospital.
Yeah, but how do you deal with that, Sheriff? Because, okay, let's say, you know, at ABC Widget Company, right, we say, okay, listen, we're going to shut this thing down. We're closing our doors. We're only central staff are going to be in there. The nature of what you're doing at the jail is new people, unfortunately, coming in all the time.
That's right, and that's why we segregate the new people before we put them in with the existing people, and that at least, you know, it may not identify every single one of them, but it certainly should identify the majority of them if they are carrying it and then later get sick. But we also know that not everybody that's exposed to it, of course, gets it.
That's true. Now let's talk about that outside the jail and back to kind of, you said that you really haven't had issues with people in the county, but I mean, we're looking at the city of Mobile, inside the city, in your time as police chief, you can obviously look through those lenses. And I've got people that were fired up this morning saying that, you know, I'm my liberties are being stepped on here, that I can't go out and you know, go to this store, or go to that store. I have another set of people who are saying people shouldn't leave the home at all. This is, you know, they're endangering everybody. But law enforcement is tasked, like in the city of Mobile, with enforcing that. And whether they agree with it or not, that's the ordinance. I mean, it probably doesn't look good if you got to arrest somebody for going down to the hardware store.
No, that's right. In law enforcement, historically, it has to use discretion, and there's a lot of discretion being used at this point in time. And the process is generally along lines about you need to separate, you need to disperse, you know, and most people will. But if they keep coming back and doing it, then eventually you got to take maybe more enforcement. That's why the law enforcement is trying to issue either summonses or tickets, because the last thing we want to do is bring somebody to jail under these conditions. But we've also got to not overreact on some of these things, too. If I've learned one thing in law enforcement over the years, the citizens will only obey what rules and laws that are passed that are reasonable. And of course, time will tell. But and so I think we're drawing a middle-of-the-road thing right now in Mobile County, but we certainly have to not overreact, but we've got to react. And generally in times like this, you usually err on the side of overreaction rather than underreacting.
All right, just joining us, talking to Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. It's your chance to ask the sheriff. I know it wouldn't be you and I talking if we didn't have a question about conceal and carry. So let's see here. Question for the sheriff from Tim. Sheriff Cochran, how long can you expect on a turnaround pistol permit now that we're doing it electronically?
I haven't checked, but I don't think it should be more than a couple of days at the most. And we do allow people now, for first-time recipients, to go online to our website and apply and receive it through the Internet without having to come in. People can still come by the office, and we have a drop box out front where they can fill out the application, drop it in the box, and we'll complete it and put it in the mail to you shortly.
All right. Just another reason to get a multi-year concealed carry permit, right?
Sure, absolutely. Same amount of work on us, but we don't have to recycle every year.
All right. Okay, I want to make a couple more questions. Well, let me ask, you kind of answered that. So you're not, I mean, there's not a curfew in effect for the county. It is just for the city. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So there is not, somebody's asking what they enforce, but y'all aren't enforcing it because it's not the law there. Let's do this. We'll run to the news, Frank. Can you hold on? We'll come back and get a few more questions asked.
Sure.
All right. Coming right back with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. It's your chance to ask the sheriff something we do on the second Tuesday of every month. And if you got a specific question, it could be related to coronavirus enforcement around that. It could be like concealed carry permit questions. We'll have those and we'll get those answered right here. 343-0106, 343-0106. Quick reminder as well, FMTalk1065.com. If you're looking for podcasts of all the 44 hours a week of live local programming we do, you can check them out there. And in addition, you can go grab individual podcasts dealing with COVID-19 local news. They're under their own tab. It says COVID-19 local news on the top row there at FMTalk1065.com. All right, 1245, we'll come right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
At 1248, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran in just a minute here, because I want to check in with Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, even though the fine jewelry portion and gifts is online. But we're still doing gold and silver in the real world, right, Angelo?
That is absolutely correct. Yeah, we've been selling those 10-ounce silver bars in stock. We've been selling a lot of 10th-ounce, half-ounce, and 1-ounce gold pieces. So a lot of folks worrying about where things are going to go. They have been getting some safety with some of those precious metals. We've actually had some folks coming in to sell some of their scrap items as well, buying some scrap gold and scrap silver, keeping busy today.
All right. And yeah, let's talk about the online, which, by the way, what an effort, because yeah, tell folks, how many items on your eBay page?
Over 9,000. And that's the thing that's a little overwhelming. People go, how in the world? Well, we've not been doing this for a day. We've been doing this for a long time. So over 9,000 different items. You go to mobilebaycoins.com, click on the shopping button, and that's going to take you to a link to our eBay store. And all the stuff you normally get to see in the shop, you can shop from the safety of your home. We ship out Monday through Friday every day, so we can get that to you quickly.
All right. So you can do that way. You can get it delivered. You can also do curbside. But if you're doing gold and silver, they can still come in with you.
We certainly like to see people in the shop. We're observing all the proper social distancing guidelines. And I wanted to let people know that if you look this year versus last year, gold is up significantly over what it was last year. Silver is about the same as what it was this time last year. So if you've been thinking about selling some stuff but worried that the pricing wasn't optimal, don't worry about that. You're actually going to be better off than if you would have been selling this last year.
All right. Well, give people directions online and in person to come see you.
Yeah, online, it's mobilebaycoins.com, or you can check us out on Facebook or on Instagram. And in person, we're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. If you need to call for curbside, 725-1590.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins, and we continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. And I know you hear those stories, Sheriff, as much as the businesses that are open, the lengths they're having to go to stay open. I mean, that's a challenge.
Yeah, it's a big, big challenge, and thankfully they have that small business loan that can help them out through this crisis.
That's for sure, and keep people on the payrolls. Geronimo asks here on the text line, this is a question that I've gotten a couple times. I'm glad to have you in here when somebody asks it. Any specific crime rates that went up or down over the last couple weeks? Anything that in the trends out there that maybe are affected by people staying home?
You know, that's a good question. I get it often, and a lot of people believe that domestic violence cases would be up, and I've heard in thread where some cities say that they're up, but for us in the county, domestic violence calls are down, and I think I attribute that to where you're no longer going by the corner bar and getting tanked up and then going home and getting in a fight.
Yeah, it's true. What about the driving stuff? I mean, pulling over for DUIs and those kind of things, is that up or down, or have you heard?
I've not specifically heard that, but I think I would have heard it if it was up, and things are, you know, things are down.
So, and
the minor things are up, but most of the things are down. We did catch a burglar in a church the night before last or last night, and he confessed that he was hungry, but, you know, it's a sad case, and I think we're going to see more of that, but it's still right now very minimal.
Well, that's what I was wondering is, you've described this over time, the kind of the whack-a-mole game of law enforcement. When you crack down over here, then it moves, you know, somewhere else. And I wonder, with so many people at home, it leaves less opportunity for property crimes at people's houses. And they got to go, in this case, you said they go find a church.
Yeah. And that's what happened. And, you know, I don't know if he was smart enough to think, well, maybe a church would be less likely to prosecute or whatever, you know, and I don't give people that much credit, I don't suppose.
Once again, you have more questions about the curfew. The curfew is just for the city of Mobile. It is not in effect for the county, correct?
That is correct. And for a curfew to be passed in the county, it has to be an act of the governor. The county commissioners don't have the authority. They would have to request the governor pass it. And I don't see that happening unless things were to get really, really bad. And I just don't see that.
All right. I got to ask when we talk about crime trends here and there. And this is a strange question. There might not be an answer to, but I wonder, does this affect the drug trade in Mobile County that we've talked about so many times, the illegal narcotics? I mean, I wonder if they have less customers or more customers, or y'all seeing more monster trends in that?
I've not heard any more complaints. I would say it affects the drug trade because you've got so many people out of work. And of course, a lot of people don't realize, but a lot of people hold jobs, do a lot of drugs. And when the jobs drop or they're not drawing money, then the money to spend on drugs is not there. And now, in the past, you have tightening drug markets, and that would create more violence, you know, fighting over the buyers. But I've not seen that yet either. But you know, we should see a boost in the economy in coming weeks as unemployment checks start going out with the incentive of the additional $600. That's going to be a lot of money put out in the community.
This texter says, from a city and state perspective, you limit citizens' exposure to the virus by keeping stores closed. You basically limit the place's commerce to control the spread. Would you rather have 3 box hardware stores that are regimented, controlled, and sterilized periodically, or 30 smaller hardware stores? Okay, they're asking the question about what the governor said.
About small stores closed, yeah, 3 box stores open.
Yeah, I mean, but do you understand what that's... I mean, I know you see it, you know, what people are reacting to. They're saying, hey, what if the mom-and-pop store could live up, the small business could do all the things, whatever the protocol is, that the big box store does, and they could separate the people and they could reduce 20% of the people in the store? Why shouldn't they be able to, you know, try to stay open?
I certainly get that question. And also, of course, I'll leave this to the experts, health professionals, but, you know, until we look behind, we're going to find out how much of it is exposed with people maybe shopping or something. So much is exposed in people that work in close quarters and people that worked in nursing homes and health providers and all like that. You know, I'd like to see some historical perspective on where they probably caught the virus. You know, I keep personal distance and hygiene and all like that, but I'm not really fearful when I go in a grocery store or something. I keep my distance, and I guess you'd say I hold my breath when I walk by somebody. But
yes.
And they better not cough on maybe something else, but that's not happening that I see.
This is good. This texter says, what is going on with the challenge to the supermajority of the city council? Do you have an update on that?
Yes, I do. I'm locked and loaded. As soon as this coronavirus gets behind us, I'm going to hit it full throttle again. I'm still receiving dozens of signed petitions in the mail to the P.O. box, and I have some banners and signs made up, and we'll be going strong. But I encourage people to go to our growmobilenow.com or look us up on Facebook. But if you want to get petitions signed by your family members and friends that you're going to see anyhow, I can mail you some of the petitions that have room for 8 or 10 signatures, versus if you have to download, you can only get the front page instead of a legal size petition.
Yeah, because people are going to say, I'll give you a chance to explain. They'll say, why, with all this stuff going on, would we physically have to sign something, hand it over? That's the rules, right? I mean,
you can't do it electronically. It's got petitions really are have to be hand signed and all like that, and then they have to be verified and documented that the person is a resident of the city of Mobile.
All right. So when we get on the backside of this, which of course that is the big question, right? When is that? Is it next month? Is it this summer? Is it the fall?
I'm optimistic in looking and seeing what's going on in other places. I believe we're going to be coming out of it inside of a few weeks at the most.
A lot of people cheering right along with you there, and me too. Hopefully it is way sooner than it is later. All right. Remind folks, too, more information online from the Sheriff's Department and the app, too. I mean, people got time. Don't tell me y'all don't have time to download stuff here at the house. So tell them about the app and the website.
Right. Download our app. Follow us, Team Sheriff, on Facebook, or go to our website, mobileso.com.
Very
follow
good.
Follow us on Twitter.
Very good. As always, we appreciate our time together. And you and your deputies, stay safe out there, and we'll talk again next month.
Blame to everybody else. Thank you all.
All right. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest. And coming up next hour, it's What's Working Special Edition with Cam Marston. He is in studio and ready to go. He even has, you brought face shield here with you.
This is one of the Caligaz face shields that they've been getting a lot of attention about recently.
Yes.
And I went over to his plant yesterday and picked up a couple to have on hand. He's going to be on the show here in a little bit.
There you go. It's like, it's simple, but it's also what's needed right now. This is, I'm digging this.
Yeah, it's very simple. It required him to create a die to cut this plastic shield that I'm holding. Somebody reached out to him and said, do you need any foam for the headboard part here? And he said, yes, he bought out all the foam from Uline, which is one of the shipping companies out there. Bought every piece he could find in the United States.
So when you can't find foam, it's Caligaz's fault.
Caligaz's fault right now. That's right. And they've got orders for 250,000 of these.
Wow.
And they
just
started them about 10 days ago.
It's too cool. We're going to talk more with Cam Marston. It's What's Working Special Edition starting in just a couple minutes right here on FM Talk 106.5.